Sirius XM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Monmouth Park, Oceanport, New Jersey, on an absolutely glorious Friday. Couldn't be better. And the
Races with Steve Bick on Sirius.
Getting going here on Twin Spires Weekend Preview Friday, Sirius 162 XM 207, Sports Zone 999. And at the website, stevebick.com, and all the humidity is gone, and it is going to be absolutely perfect. Racing picks up today with that Jersey Shore that is really is not an open and shut case. You know, you just were listening to the replay, undoubtedly, with Derek Ryan and the excitement about bringing Bookham Dano back, a prep for the Alan Jerkins. It's not only, frankly, about him, and certainly you know, the conversation that we enjoyed with Eddie Owens getting ready for his. I think more or less hinted, you know, a bit of a audition for Eddie as well. And any speculation about Bookham Dano not running, that was dismissed yesterday with Derek. Then the main event Saturday, Haskell. Not just Haskell, though. It the more you look, the bigger the weekend gets. Woodbine, we'll talk to Ron Gierkink this hour. The Woodbine Kings Plate preview day, Woodbine Oaks, Kings Plate trial, and more. Connacht Cup, and very nice stakes sequence tomorrow at Woodbine. So we'll check in with Ron. Del Mar opening day, and very unusual. Hammer, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
The Del Mar Saturday, it's kind of weird. And I got to tell you, it's going to be very interesting tomorrow to see where Handel flows, because there's a lot on the docket.
I'm going to tell you, I know Brad's going to preview a little bit, but I'll tell you one, there's going to be one very, very unique aspect about Del Mar. Now, Del Mar in itself is a little different. It's a different surface, obviously, than Santa Anita and other tracks in California. So sometimes some strange things happen. Turf course the same way. It's a very if some horses love it and some don't. So people pay close attention to the turf. But one unique thing this year, if you look at the opening day card, you're not going to see one workout at Del Mar.
Because they got there late.
They just opened the track a few days, so that's kind of rare. So you don't have, they've probably gone out and made a couple laps around there, but none of them have breezed over the track.
Interesting.
I should say none of them. I didn't look at every single horse, but unless they, you know, blew out. But probably something pretty unique for a big, huge card like this. You won't see one work at Del Mar, which could lead to anything. when you go there, I'm sure. Like I said, Brad Freeve does a great job. We'll be on top of that. But I was looking last night. I go, that's right, they just opened. So
that is different.
Not even a little hint.
I imagine, in fact, particularly with the main track, horses that are going to turn up that, you know, that ran there last fall or last summer, maybe give them just a scooch more credit.
It seems to be definitely more of a horse for course type of situation, and that's why I wanted to stress the turf is the same way. You'll see horses that just do great at Santa Anita, and they come down there, and you see the 0 for 3 at Del Mar, They just don't like it. I don't know what it is.
Well, part of it is the turns and you know, it's a
layout.
It's a little different layout, exactly, and you know, horses have to be ridden a certain way around that turn to reach contention, and not every horse has necessarily the right gait and the right style for that to pay off, for that to be applied.
And obviously, there's the only moisture that track is going to get is from the sprinklers too. So there's obviously not going to rain. So the ground is there. But anyway, Del Mar's nothing quite like an opening day at Del Mar as well. So we wish them luck. And like I said, Brad will go over a few things.
Steve Anderson, too. In fact, let's give you the rundown. Nick Tamaro is going to join us early on here. And undoubtedly, Nick will look at the cross country. Just one, I think the Lake George, the only piece of the Saratoga action. We'll talk about yesterday in a second and slip in a little bit about today as well. Nick Tamaro kicks us off. Brad Free, as mentioned, and we'll get a meet advance. We'll get a little bit of juvenile, and we'll get a couple of opinions on the weekend from Brad. Ron Gierkink in Toronto to set up Plate Trial Day and Woodbine Oaks Day. Marcus Hirsch, in fact, I'm just noticing, we've got the DRF Superfecta, Free, Gierkink, Hirsch live here at Monmouth, and Steve Anderson. So we'll come right through the top writers and handicappers. Scully as well. I think Dennis Drazen's penciled in for 11 for his state of Oceanport address. We get every year, and then I left things a little bit open. One thing that surprises me is the NBC, right? The broad, usually we see them by Thursday, and I was surprised yesterday that a lot of times it's Randy Moss and Jerry Bailey that come through.
Right, and usually they stay at the same place that I stay at. I didn't see anybody in the lobby last night or this morning, and I didn't go to the backside this morning. I chose to take a drive through Colts Neck instead.
Oh, wow.
That I hadn't been. I didn't run through there. And you're talking yesterday about, New Jersey, the land of the lawnmower. I mean, we talk about beautiful country. 5 miles from here, Colts Neck, New Jersey is just beautiful. And got to drive by the old golf course. That due process, of course, one of the most exclusive courses around. But there's no such thing as exclusivity when you have friends. And John Prada used to run that place and manage the course as well. And got fortunate enough to play there numerous times. And if you want to check it out, Google Due Process Golf and check out that course. I mean, it's just fantastic. So I did that this morning as a little wake me up. So like you mentioned, a beautiful day. In fact, we changed our seats from inside to the rooftop tomorrow because it's going to be such a beautiful day.
Yeah, no, things worked out perfectly here in terms of the weather. And in the recent past, there has been, that heat that we just experienced. What was it now? Probably 2 years ago or three, where they basically had to delay the start of the card and then ended up just running the stakes portion.
That's right.
It was crazy.
I missed that.
That was wild.
Yes.
It was just wild. And then the cooling fans and everything that they could do to, keep everybody cool and safe. Saratoga yesterday, let's slip this in. We'll do just, frankly, a little bit of Saratoga. I've got everything done. I haven't posted it over at the website yet. Today is a really good card. It's just a straightforward. The Curlin is early for the three-year-olds, of course, and unmatched wisdom, weigh the horse to beat, although Bill Mott's got that timeout. Corporate Power is going to have to improve, I think, to top either of them. And then McPeak's got a pair of horses, Elephant's Ear and Django, that worked together and both got high marks from Mike Welch and the team. Kind of interesting.
What race is that?
That's the third. Goes early with the six-horse field. And then after that, it's just good, straightforward racing. The 8th, 9th are a pair of allowances, 6 furlongs for fillies and mares, and that leads into a mile and a 16th inner turf opportunity for fillies and mares, first level allowance. They are as deep and contentious and interesting. Chad Brown in the turf race has got a first-time North America Child of the Moon. That's quite, I imagine is going to be good, but there's 7-8 horses in here that probably can win. Actually, Chad's got another one, Root Cause, as well, that is eligible. I actually picked Mott with a 12-to-1 shot, Epic Miss Justice. And Trombetta's got a horse that I think is competitive. Determined Lily, 8-to-1. Vino Rouge is 2-to-1 for Tony Dutrow. There's actually a couple of Tony Dutrow's got a couple of live chances. That dirt allowance is absolutely phenomenal. Sam's Treasure, Roswell, Princess Madison, and then there's the 8-to-1 type shots. I picked Kara's Time for Mitch Friedman, the New York bred that cleared New York bred first level, now is going to try Open Company first level. And I think is every bit as eligible as any of them. Do-Gooder for Antonucci on the rail. As good a pair of allowances as you're going to find. There's maiden specials that are good. I think Bruce Levine, Joker on Fire. Bruce is so good with firsters. That's the 5 and the 6th. 6-to-1 morning line. I think David probably wishes he went a little lower there, but it's just a fascinating set of races. I mean, real meat and potatoes sets of races. There's a couple of claiming events that are great with droppers and all kinds of. There's all kinds of things going on. A fun Friday card at the Spa.
No, I agree. I looked at those two races as well, and they're loaded. So. Get started today and build up a little bank. We got to thank, we forgot at the beginning of the show, to thank Derek Ryan for his little push on his horse at Colonial in the last.
That's right. That's right.
Lost my sock.
What'd that pay?
I think it was 10-20.
Nice. Nice.
Luckily, before we were talking here, I put 20 across on the horse.
Look at you.
Well, I forgot all about it. And he texted me. He goes, well, I hope you bet my horse. And I went, I did. I go, the fact that you're texting me obviously means a good thing. So,
that's great.
Yeah. So
that's
tremendous. That was, we have no slouches on here, Steve. We only good information. They don't make the cut. And I wanted to say one thing, as you mentioned about Brad and the juveniles. There's a piece of his in the form, either today, in today's edition or yesterday's edition that lists trainer by trainer.
The 2-year-old to watch column, the Jay Pridman popularized.
Yeah, so hit the print button on that. Stick it on the bulletin board. So because somewhere during the meet, that's gonna one of those horses is gonna come up, and you'll be able to cash it. So I'm sure Brad's gonna go over it, but it's nice to have it handy.
The from yesterday, let me slip in a quick review, and then we got to get to Nick. I do not want to, I really don't want to fall behind today. The Wednesday? There we go. I'm losing track of days, right? Yesterday. Again, kind of a straightforward set of races, and you did have a situation going into the nightcap, and I don't know where I know I did the charting, but I don't know where they are. Going into the nightcap, you could have had a carryover, but the logicals were all covered, and Hey Toby, for $5 ended up turning back Very Stormy, although Very Stormy would have also tripped. Would have also been a payoff in the pick six. When it came to the stake, the Stallion Series stake, Big Torpedo just a little too good. I tried to key off of Courtly Banker, who ran very well and tested Big Torpedo, but Big Torpedo turned him away. And at 1-2, ends up winning the stake. Stop Giggling was, I guess, the best price of the day, $28.80 in the second. Just a good midweek card, and with the turf back aboard, same thing today, as mentioned. All right, let's get Nick in here, and
the line maker of the country. Nick doing great.
Nick is telling me he just got called into a meeting, so I'll flip flop. I'm going to flip flop with Brad. All right, because Brad knew. Yeah, all right. Nick telling me give him a few minutes. All right, so we'll go to we'll be all right. That's fine. And Brad Free appreciates the first set call anyway.
He's up early.
It's funny because a lot of times, and I'm sure he'll explain what his travel plan was. And Brad, Rick Hammerly's here with us, and I was just about to say, traditionally, when I would reach for you to get started on Del Mar, the day before the meet would be your travel day from Los Angeles down, and I wondered how this unusual Saturday affected you.
Yeah, no, good morning, guys. Steve Hammer, how you guys doing? This is the time of year where it's the busiest time of the entire season, the summer meet at Del Mar. And the fact that the meet is opening on a Saturday is actually going to postpone my arrival at Del Mar by one day. I'm going to take a pass on opening day, work from home that day, and let the crowds kind of filter through and all the circus atmosphere get through, and then I'll be down there on Sunday morning. But looking forward to this terrific summer season. 8 weeks of top class racing. Some good 2-year-olds are coming out. We have some terrific grass racing. In fact, grass is kind of the theme over opening weekend. And I'll be down there on Sunday morning, and looking forward to diving into some big fields and some huge competitive cards on both Saturday and Sunday.
Now that's a veteran move right there. right? Opening day is great for a lot of people, but if you're not set up, you're going right into the belly of the beast there. And we've enjoyed plenty of opening days, right, in our time.
But, yeah.
But a Saturday opening day could be nutso, traffic, everything.
Well, it's going to be nuts. And listen, opening day is a lot of fun. It really is. It's not for me this year anyway. You can kind of just sense the enthusiasm. We're in a new market, the San Diego market, for the first time since last fall, after being in Los Angeles, where it's been, 100 degrees for a good portion of this, early summer season. So it's a fun atmosphere at Del Mar. The racing is good. The crowd is lively. Everybody's out having a good time. It's expensive to go to the races at Del Mar in summer, but it's worth it. I mean, it's just a good, fun atmosphere backed up by the most important thing, and that is some very good racing on which to gamble.
Yeah, and Brad, on that front, you mentioned turf, and of course it's a turf heavy program, particularly for the 3-year-olds. There's really not a pronounced dirt program for 3-year-olds. So we'll get a little bit of that. We of course start the weekend with races like the Oceanside and the Wicker and so forth. But I do want to start with the long-running daily racing form, 2-year-olds to watch, because you and Dave Grenning now handling those responsibilities, and invariably there's obvious horses like Mooney, but there's also horses that people probably had not heard about until they read the column.
Yeah, it's really a fun story to dive into every summer. I think Jay Pribman was the previous, author of the two-year-old story going into summer. With his retirement, I took it on, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work to go through and, you know, scour through the sales and the workout tabs and talk to trainers and find out who's, you know, who is likely for an early start this summer with two-year-olds. But it's also, you know, we can get a lot of good, hopefully, some decent information from some of these guys that train these good two-year-olds. Of course, Baffert is the, you know, top two-year-old trainer in California. He's won the Del Mar Futurity 17 times and the Debutante 10 times. He has a deep stable, but he's not the only guy with two-year-olds out there. He has some good ones running on opening weekend, Baffert does. But there are some other guys that have some very good two-year-olds, Phil D'Amato, Richard Mandela, Michael McCarthy. I was shocked to learn that last summer at Del Mar, Michael McCarthy won more races with two-year-olds than Baffert did. McCarthy won 8 races with two-year-olds. Baffert won 7. Yeah, I was stunned. I rechecked my work. I said, that can't be right. It turns out it is right. And when you look back on it and consider it, it's really not that surprising. McCarthy, who went out on his own, about 10 years ago, has gradually built up one of the strongest stables in California. And as his reputation has grown, so has the quality of his stock improved. And so McCarthy has ended up running, you know, potential future stakes horses in maiden races. He's getting good stock, expensive stock, and they're firing first time out. I think he won with 5 first time starters last summer, McCarthy did. And he's loaded again this summer. He said his 2-year-olds came in a little bit later than normal. It might be more toward the middle or end of the meet, but McCarthy is loaded. John Sheriffs has a bunch of good ones. It's, you know, again, Baffert typically wins the grade ones at the end of the season, but getting there is really half the fun. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch these two-year-olds develop. There's a good two-year-old race on Saturday, opening day, the second race of the meet. Baffert sends out a son of Perlin going 5 furlongs against Doug O'Neill trained Dr. Ruben M. So these two-year-old races are fun to watch and kind of, you know, project who's going to be, you know, the potential future stars. And you know there's going to be one or more this summer. Del Mar. In fact, just going through the history books, 15 Breeders' Cup juvenile winners actually ran in summer at Del Mar before they won the Breeders' Cup, and 12 Breeders' Cup juvenile fillies. There have been, in the same time period over the last 40 years, 8 horses who won the Kentucky Derby the following spring actually campaigned as two-year-olds in summer. So this is the time where you can bet on what's right in front of you, but can you also kind of, you know, project how these horses might do going forward as the distances increase. That's one of the most fun aspects of summer, watching the two-year-olds develop and finding out who's going to, you know, end up in the Breeders' Cup at the end of the year.
Well, and of course, the Breeders' Cup coming right back to Del Mar this fall and next year. And so horses that break their maidens, or horses that, show some ability over the two surfaces and circle back toward Breeders' Cup, get extra marks. We should probably also include, you know, you mentioned tomorrow's second race. Then on Sunday, it's the fillies get their first debut in the fourth. That includes the $775,000 Casaloo for Pegram, Watson, and Whiteman, the red and yellow for Baffert. And we should also include, I want to throw some names at you, Brad, because Hammer's face will light up when we talk about the eighth race on Sunday. Here's the Cowbred Maidens and Louis Mendez, not to be ignored ever.
No, and Hammer was one of the first guys to actually identify that. Louis Mendez is a terrific trainer. He's a really good guy also. He does a wonderful job training the horses that are generally purchased by John Brocklebank. All those two-year-olds that the Mendez Brocklebank outfit runs are for sale. They run them, and they run well, and then they're sold. That's how these guys make their money. The Cowbred race on Sunday is a really good race. 14 entrants. They can run up to 10. And although, you know, Mendez is represented in the race by Style Cat, there's a first-time starter in race 8 on Sunday that I'm very intrigued by. And her name is, I shuffled through my stack of papers, his name is originally by Nyquist, and his name is Nice Going, trained by Doug O'Neill, owned and bred by Paul Redham, and this horse has looked really, really good in morning workouts. Watched, viewed on xptv.com. And I think the nice going under jockey Mario Gutierrez is going to come out firing. It's only a 5-furlong race. You want to have somebody with speed. Nice going showed some gas from the gate in his July 14th workout. And he looks like he's live first time out. Luis Mendez has I'm a Bad Boy, who's likely to be one of the favorites. He finished a promising third in his career debut. And then Peter Miller has a second-time starter drawn right inside I'm a Bad Boy by the name of Style Cat. He's a sibling to a couple of stakes winners. I thought he ran a kind of a sneaky good fourth in his debut. It looked like it was not really a super go first time out. Kind of gained some seasoning, stayed inside, finished evenly, got beat 2.5 lengths. He should move up second time out, Style Cat. But in race eight, it's Cal Brad's going 5 furlongs, Calbred 2-year-old maidens. I like the first time starter, nice going, and I'm very interested to see what price morning linemaker Jeff Siegel makes nice going, because I think this Richland is well meant in his debut on Sunday.
Hey, Brad, you mentioned Peter Miller, and I think, or you can, I'll ask you this. You think he's been? I think he's been playing a little bit of possum there at the end of Santa Anita, because he points for this meet, and. What he's won, I think he's had a few titles, right, in the last 4 or 5 years. But I believe
he has. Peter Miller is based nearby, near Del Mar, at San Luis Rey Downs. It's the closest training facility to Del Mar. And over the years, Miller second start maidens generally run a lot better. And it looked to me like just watching the tape of Style Cat's debut suggested that they were just giving him a race. Excuse me, schooling him, getting some education, and then the second time out is supposed to be a go. So I think that Style Cat is super live second time out, and you're right. Miller was giving some horses some races, and again, second start maidens trained by Miller obviously improved. In fact, you can see it right in his past performances, the past performances for Style Cat. Maiden second start, 25% and a $2.41 ROI per $2. So the Miller second start maidens are, generally speaking, ones that you've got to take a second look at.
Yeah, I just was perusing. I want to give everybody something you might not have access to it. It depends on your subscriptions to DRF.com, but the winner's book, which basically is a compendium of results from the previous calendar year or the previous meets. And I invariably, you also can get this in the Saratoga or the Del Mar betting guide each summer. And that is the charting and the results from the previous summer. And, condition books, Hammer, you can talk to this, condition books at places like Saratoga and Del Mar and Oaklawn and Keeneland, those condition books don't change a lot. And so there's races that every horseman knows are going to be in the first 2 weeks of these meets, and they start planning for it. And so if you go through the winner's book and you find horses that were 8, 9, 10, 12 to 1, make a note of the condition. There's some maiden 50s. There's some state-bred Mendez hit for 20 with a state-bred turf sprint. Bob Hess was I can recall, hitting early the last couple of years as well for big double digits. There's certain patterns, Brad, that just are indelible.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And that kind of goes back to one of my favorite handicapping books that I've ever read. I think it was a tremendous addition to the overall handicapping library, is Handicapper's Condition Book, written decades ago by handicapping author Jim Quinn, one of my all-time favorites. And what the premise of the Handicapper's Condition Book was this. Certain races are won by certain types of horses. So when you go back and study what types of horses win, say, the Best Pal Stakes for two-year-olds in the midsummer at Del Mar, well, the last 6 Best Pal winners were coming off debut maiden victories. Those types of studies that Quinn talks about in Handicapper's Condition Book is kind of exactly what you're referring to, looking back through the winner's book at DRF.com. Certain guys win certain races at Del Mar, and certain types of horses win certain types of races at Del Mar. There's two stakes races on Sunday, the Ocenitas Stakes and the Wicker Stakes. They're both turf miles, one for fillies and mares, one open to either gender. And looking through the recent history of the Ocenitas and Wicker, these are two races that are complete and total raffles. You get horses that pay $20, $30, $40, $50, $60. Both those stakes races, favorites are only 2 for 10 in the last 10 years, obviously. And those are the types of studies that I think are valuable to horse players to determine what situations might be more trend toward chaos than predictability. And those two stakes races on Sunday are included in that mix. The Ocenitas and Wicker, two races with a recent history of just one long shot winner after another.
And you know, you what you were talking about, I think it shows up more in meets like a Keeneland or like a Del Mar. They're short, not a lot of stuff going in. I was talking about today, tomorrow's card, there's not a horse on there that's had to work over the track, which invites anything to happen on the dirt course especially. And you mentioned the Wicker and the Ocenitas. Those races are run early in the meet again, and I was talking about, you know, turf form at Santa Anita doesn't necessarily carry over to Del Mar. Some horses just don't like it, and I think that what probably lends to that, you have some hot turf horses coming into the Wicker, they look like they're doing good, and poof, they just don't run well down there at Del Mar.
Well, it's a completely different turf course, and the late runners have a better chance to win at Del Mar than they do at Santa Anita, and I'm not going to say that the Santa Anita turf is speed, you know, pro speed. I'm not going to say there's a bias. But what I will say is this: deep closers win with regularity at Del Mar. They win with less regularity on the turf course at Santa Anita. And that's one of the things that, you know, we have to kind of retrain yourself when a new meet such as Del Mar opens up and you see, you know, this horse, you know, he went wire to wire in fast time at Santa Anita. There's no guarantee that that's going to happen at Del Mar. The courses, to me anyway, visually look the same. They're both, you know, relatively tightly cropped, but it just time and time again, turf route winners at Del Mar rally from the back half of the field with more regularity than they do during the Santa Anita meet. And surprisingly, that is also true for 5 furlong turf races at Del Mar, at least when the rails are down. The rails are down this weekend. I picked a closer in an early turf sprint. I think it's on Saturday. And they're only going 5 furlongs. You think, well, who wants to bet on a closer going 5 furlongs that turf at Del Mar? Well, last summer it was either 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6 rails at 0 turf sprints were won from a horse rallying from the back half of the field. So the idea that speed wins all Del Mar turf sprints is just inaccurate. They could win from anywhere going 5 furlongs on turf, and around 2 turns, I would generally lean toward a horse who can blast home like a true grass horse on a true grass course where late speed is the winning ticket.
Brad Free joining us on the Del Mar Eve and opening weekend. The cards both outstanding. Brad, let's touch on a couple of opportunities and a couple of thoughts. Jeff Franklin was away, so we didn't do the win-using Thoroughgraph session yesterday, but I did send the San Clemente PPs out to everybody with the Thoroughgraph figures. You and I both are big big TG fans, and I can maybe utilize a little of your process with some opinion in the San Clemente.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the fastest horse in the San Clemente, according to Thoroughgraph anyway, is Ice Cream You Scream, who earned a 7.25 last time out. The problem, or the challenge, I guess, that she faces in the San Clemente is that Ice Cream You Scream has never run long. She's only started twice. She won both sprints at Santa Anita by open lengths, and she ran fast last time out and was visually impressive through the lane. She's the fastest horse going into the San Clemente. Ice Cream You Scream, trained by Phil D'Amato. Maduro is not as fast as Ice Cream You Scream, but Maduro has never lost. She's 4 for 4, and she is repeatedly proven around two turns. She won her career debut going 5 furlongs on turf at Del Mar last December, and she followed with 3 subsequent two-turn turf stakes win. So she's 4-for-4 going in. She's not as fast on numbers as Ice Cream, You Scream, but she has that proven form. She's fresh. She's training well. And Maduro, the 8-to-5 favorite, is going to fire first start back. But Ice Cream, You Scream is very dangerous. She's listed as the 3-to-1 second choice on Siegel's morning line. And if she can stay two turns, and she's by Twirling Candy out of a Cozy Mare, so there's no reason why she won't. Trainer Phil D'Amato believes that she will. So do her exercise riders and Antonio Frisu, who rode her last time out. They all say that she will run long, Ice Cream, You Scream. So fastest horse in the race, but running long for the first time is Ice Cream, You Scream. I prefer Maduro just because she's fresh and established around two turns. But these two fillies are both very good. And those are the two main players in the San Clemente.
I'm going to mention one horse that, and certainly Maduro with that, there's a very interesting pattern for those of you that are looking at the page right this minute. That slight improvement in the win last time, down to a 9.5, that's just enough improvement to augur for even better to come. So Maduro, yes, off a little bit of the layoff, but that happens to be a Peter Ertin specialty. Clicks at 21% off about 60 to 180 days. The horse I want to bring up, and I'm going to do it because it gives me a chance to talk about Leo Powell, who is absolutely a guy that, despite all his success, Brad and Hammer, because Hammer's face lit up, it still is underknown.
No doubt about it. I mean, to me, he's one of the best kept secrets in California. I love to wager on his horses, and he has a 20-to-1 shot. Sakura Blossom, she's probably in a little bit tough, but at that price, you can overlook some potential imperfections. She ran second last time out in the Grade 3 Honeymoon. That was the best race of her career so far. For Sakura Blossom on Saturday at Del Mar, the problem is they're cutting back from a 1 1/8 to 1 mile. And Sakura Blossom wants every bit of a longer distance. 1 mile might be too short for her. Again, at 20-to-1, you can overlook something like that. But she's going to be running late over a turf course that generally is kind to blast home closers, and she's sharp right now. She's in good form. Enters the San Clemente off a good runner-up finish last time out, and if you're looking for a bomb to upset the favorites, you could do worse than Sakura Blossom. She fits here, but again, the distance is too short, and I believe that Powell thinks the same thing.
Well, I'm going to use her no matter what. At the very least, she's a terrific reverse tri-key horse, the kind of horse that is picking them up late, just like in the Honeymoon. If she picks up a share on the bottom of this at a big number, she can help your ticket. But I also think the mile, she's going to get a pace set up. And let's take this opportunity to talk about Armando Ayuso.
Well, he's a good journeyman rider, and he's kind of making his inroads to the colony here in Southern California. This colony has a lot of names, Hernandez, Rispoli, up near the top. But Ayuso is gradually getting into some of these top barns. Berrios is not riding Sakura Blossom. He's riding Ice Cream, You Scream in the San Clemente, and that allows Ayuso to pick up the mount, for Leonard Powell. He's a good, solid rider, Ayuso is, in a colony that's pretty deep right now, and he's picked up a live one with Sakura Blossom. If he can stay out of trouble, she's going to be rolling late at a big number.
Well, that's my, for those of us that are doing the win-using Thoroughgraph, this is the kind of horse that is just jumps off the page, is absolutely as fast. For instance, she's just as fast as Maduro.
Yeah, she is. Sakura Blossom got a 9.25 last time out. Maduro got a 9.5. On Thoroughgraph, lower is better. So Sakura Blossom theoretically ran faster, finishing second in the Honeymoon, than Maduro did winning the Providencia. We're splitting hairs here, and we're talking about a 20-to-1 shot. So Sakura Blossom, an interesting horse at a price coming from out of the clouds.
I'm going to throw one more horse in at you. I don't have the morning line on the 9-horse Zona Verde.
8-1
8-1 Now, this is one that needs to run a little bit better, but I like her record at Del Mar. She's 2-for-2 She's a graded stake winner at Del Mar. And the mile's not a problem. She's been running with Maduro all along, running against some nice fillies. She's had a little bit of a break. She just needs to improve a little bit to me to be there. And when they pick up Mr. Hernandez as well, the perennial leading rider for the last few years, that one was one I put a little star by to use underneath as well.
But Dr. Hammer, I picked Zona Verde as my third preference behind Maduro and Ice Cream, You Scream. Zona Verde has been purposely freshened to point specifically for this race. And as you mentioned, that Del Mar course record, 2 starts on the Del Mar turf, 2 wins, that speaks volumes. Horses who run well at Del Mar, I know this sounds, so conspicuously obvious, but we see it year after year after year. Horses who run well at Del Mar, they tend to run well again the next time they come to South. So with a 2-for-2 record over the Del Mar turf course, freshened by Phil D'Amato, Juan Hernandez aboard, Zona Verde, to me, is the most likely upsetter. If Maduro and or Ice Cream, You Scream get beat, Zona Verde at odds of 8-1, first start since early April. I think she is super live in her comeback over a turf course she loves.
Brad Free joining us. Brad, let's back it up to the annual first stake of the meet, the Oceanside. These are so much fun. The Oceanitas is the companion race on Sunday. Hammer and I were talking about this yesterday. These non-winners of a sweepstakes at Saratoga, the Curlin today, non-winners of a graded sweepstake. They're always fun. You get horses coming off layoffs. You get horses that had delayed starts to their year, horses that have been nibbling in good company. So it always makes for a terrific, well-mixed hand.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The Oceanside Stakes is race number 7 on Saturday. The San Clemente is race number 9. And in the Oceanside Stakes, the morning line favorite is stretching out for the first time in the U.S., King of Gosford, listed as the 5-2 favorite. He's 3-for-3 in the U.S. All 3 races were sprints. Well, Phil D'Amato won the Oceanside a year ago with a horse named Conclude, who had a pattern very similar to King of Gosford. Stretching out from sprints, he's fast on numbers, and he should be able to stay a mile, King of Gosford. Having said that, he's my third preference, and maybe I'm seeing things here, but I picked a couple of the long shots on the morning line. Whether they end up as long shots is a different story, but I don't really understand why Scatify, should be listed at 8-1. His numbers are good. He can run on grass. His only start on grass, this is the son of Justify, trained by John Sadler, was a runner-up finish in a turf sprint at Santa Anita, in which he probably was best. He was very through most of the lane and lost by less than a length. Last time out, he chased Parenting in the Affirm Stakes. Back on turf, that Bob Baffert trained superstars to deal with in the Oceanside Stakes. And I think that Scatify, to me, is the most probable winner of the race. He can go long, he can handle turf, he's versatile, and I think that he's the right horse. He's listed at a surprising 8-1. And then number 6, We're in Trouble, who defeated Older last time out in a downhill sprint. And that's not easy to do for a 3-year-old in June to defeat Older Allowance horses in only the second start of his career. We're in Trouble is a very good, promising horse. He's only started twice, and we don't know if he can run long yet. But at 10-1, he's going to be on all my tickets for sure. So I kind of like Scatify at 8-1. We're in Trouble at 10-1 with nothing but respect for the fastest horse in the race, and Siegel probably tapped the correct favorite, King of Gosford, off that 7 3/4 last time out on Thoroughgraph. He enters as the fastest horse with a 3-for-3 record in the U.S., and if he can go 2 turns, he can certainly win this race. But it's an interesting stakes race. This race is won historically by comebackers, droppers, horses who just missed last time out against better. it's kind of an eclectic stakes race in which virtually anything goes. But King of Gosford, Scatify, and We're in Trouble, to me, are the three principals in the Oceanside.
I'll only ask one question, and I completely agree with everything you laid out. Simplexity on the outside, first time North America, first time three-year-old for Dan Blacker, who has done well with new stock in the barn, and 3-for-8 with a positive ROI the last year and a half, and Blacker, who's back and frankly back with a vengeance. And I'm curious about Simplexity, who I think will end up being a pretty bulbous price.
Well, he's listed at 30-1. He's listed as the first time gelding. I'm always a little hesitant to make that statement with these Europeans, but Simplexity, I talked to Blacker early this week, and at the time when I spoke with him, he wasn't sure if he was going in the Oceanside or if he was going to wait for an allowance race. I guess the fact that he's in the Oceanside can probably be interpreted as a positive sign, yeah, as opposed to the allowance. But he's drawn outside. He's making his first start since October. He's never run beyond 6 furlongs on turf. There's a lot of questions to answer. I think there's some very good horses in the Oceanside. There are no endlessly's in this field, but there are some good ones in here. Scatify, We're in Trouble, Formidable Man, King of Gosford. Those are all proven, established, stakes quality horses. Again, I'm not talking anybody off a 30-1 shot Simplexity, but from where I sit, it seems like he is in tough in the Oceanside.
It just strictly a Blacker, new stock Blacker angle.
By the way, just speaking of Blacker, I'm really looking forward to watching his good sprinter, Straight No Chaser,
right,
a week from Saturday. Straight No Chaser against the Chosen Vron in the Grade 1 Bing Crosby. I think it's a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup sprint, I think. Anyway, two very good sprinters. Blacker's best horse in his barn is Straight No Chaser, training super for his second start back. And I think Straight No Chaser is going to give the Chosen Vron a run for his money a week from tomorrow.
You mentioned right at the end there, Formidable Man, and I wanted to dig a little bit deeper in here. This is, you mentioned Endlessly. That's obviously Michael McCarthy, same trainer. This horse was in the Midwest for his last couple starts. Got beat, finished second in the American Turf. Threw in a little bit of a clunker last time, which I like, which will make the odds go up a little bit. But this is a two-time winner and a winner over the course as well. So I think Formidable Man is going to sit fine in that two-hole and just be able to kind of follow the action around and make a move. I don't. What's his price on the program?
He's the Formidable Man is listed at 9-2, and I agree. And I believe that I think that the alibi for his most recent start was that he did not care for the Churchill Downs turf course, which is interesting because he ran so well two starts back over the very turf course. But he has an alibi for his most recent start. He's not facing any superstars on Saturday in the Oceanside, and Formidable Man, he ranks among the top four choices.
Brad, before we go, the maiden race that is sandwiched between the two stakes, and Miramati, who was sent to Pimlico and steamed in at even money, and then had to fly home with a minor award. And now there's all kinds of other parties that are knocking on the door, including other Bafferts and the aforementioned Dan Blacker, who's in here with a pair, Brave Blend and Spearfish. Wayne the Brain came up yesterday, the Matoli from Mark Glatt. There's a few things going on here. What are you doing in that maiden race?
Yeah, this is a good race. I mean, you don't see too many Grade 1 placed horses running in maiden races as three-year-olds, but Miramati, he placed last summer at Del Mar in the Del Mar Futurity race won by Prince of Monaco. And Miramati is making his first start since May. He broke slowly from the rail in that comeback race. He was heavily favored, and he kind of misfired. Baffert backed off. He's breezing super. He's got a whole bunch of bullet workouts. I think Miramati is the horse to beat. But Santorina, he runs the same race every single time. You very rarely see a horse in his first four starts run the exact same thoroughground figure. Santorina, 7.5 each of his four starts. That's generally fast enough to win a maiden race. Santorina is listed as the 9-5 favorite. Miramati, 2-1 second choice. Those two are both good. But the first-time starter, Mark Glatt, by the way, trains Santorina, and he also trains first-time starter Wayne the Brain, who has worked very, very well for his career debut. And Glad is a guy who is in winning with regularity with first-time starters. So I got to believe that Wayne the Brain is the kind of the new face that could potentially give Miramati and Santorina a battle. But it's a good, solid maiden race for three-year-olds and up.
Well, the Del Mar season kicks off tomorrow, and it starts with a bang. Sunday, outstanding as well. You got anything from Sunday? You pick a best bet yet?
Yeah, I have, actually, and it's not very creative. I expected to see Exalted running in the Wicker Stakes on Sunday, and I was listening to the draw yesterday afternoon, and they drew the Wicker. And there was no Exalted in the field. And one of the jocks agents asked one of the racing officials, this was on a conference call, where is Exalted? Why is he not in the Wicker? And the racing official said, well, he entered the three other van. So Exalted, a grade one winner, is in the first race on Sunday. It's a three other van classified turf mile. His second start back from the layoff, he misfired in his recent comeback. It was at Churchill Downs over a turf course he did not care for at all. But Exalted taking the class drop to over a course on which he has run well. And I think Exalted in race one on Sunday, he's very, very close to being a slam dunk at a likely short price. He has to face comebacker Bran in race number one. So Exalted's going to be tough to beat, in my opinion, in race one on Sunday.
And now, you know, Brad, that's a veteran move for a trainer to do that, to take a deep breath. And you know what? He's got that condition. Let's take it. Let's, you know, hopefully get a nice, easy race in him, get a little confidence back, and it works out. He'll be in a stake next time, a graded stake.
Well, yeah, there's a lot to be said about a horse gaining confidence by winning a race. This is a race that Exalted should win. It should do his confidence wonders. And, you know, this is the horse. He was the top turf miler in California in spring of 2023. So if he gets back in form, and he's 70 years old, so there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. But he has trained exceptionally well since his return, and I think Exalted, you know, if he wins this allowance race, I think we'll probably see him in a graded stakes race next time out. I know they would love to get back to the Breeders' Cup. He was expected to run in the Breeders' Cup mile last fall. He did not enter. Whether he either did not enter or was told not to enter by the vets is a different topic. But anyway, he's back, he's training well, and he's still lightly raced as a 7-year-old. He's only started 17 times. Exalted should win race number one.
Number one visit of the Del Mar season with Brad Free. Brad, have a great meet. We'll check in, I hope, regularly.
Sounds good, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Brad Free won, everybody, on Twitter. Not that Brad's a big Twitter guy. He's much bigger in the pages of America's Turf Authority, the Daily Racing Form.
1894. I never get that right.
No, that maybe it is right. America's Turf Authority since 1890. Yeah, 1894. That sounds right. That sounds right. but the popular answer.
What Marty's answer?
Since Marty McGee was in short pants. That's the official Jay Pridman.
And I corresponded with Marty the other day. He's enjoying life on the lake.
Nice. Because you said, you wanted to reach out. All right, we're going to reach out. Let's see if Nick, what did Nick say? He's not clear yet, I guess. All right, Marcus Hirsch will be here in, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. So let's go to T.O. We'll go to Toronto, and we'll check in with Ron Gierkink. First time this month, as we inch closer to the King's Plate. It'll be my first King's Plate, and I'm excited. I've been there for the Woodbine Mile, but not for a plate. And they certainly got a terrific card for the plate trial and for the Woodbine Oaks, which is as viable a prep for the plate as anything. Ron Gierkink, good morning. Yeah. I don't. Well, try that again, Ronnie. Huh. All right. Let's see. I'm not sure what. I don't know why that didn't go.
There's a communication breakdown going on out there somewhere.
It hooked up, but then there was nothing. I don't know. I've had over the every so often we've had. I will say we have had the occasional connection issue. There's Marcus Hirsch. There you go. So we may actually get.
Maybe
right
there was a reason why that didn't go through.
It could be actually that. And in fact, let me send Ron a note and see what's going on. In the meantime, we will get Marcus Hirsch to share his
Jersey knowledge.
Shore exactly his Jersey Shore experience thus far of the week. I had to switch.
You want here?
Yeah.
Here.
No, you can. That's all right.
We good?
Actually, you know what? That's a good idea.
We'll do the rotate.
Yeah, do that rotation. Let him, because that way. Yeah, that's a good idea, because Marcus will do the lion's share of the talking. Marcus, welcome back to Monmouth Park.
Pleased to be here.
We're in store for a not just tomorrow, because I see that you're as interested and excited about Bookham Dano versus Little Knee as anybody.
Well, I don't know about that. Who have you pulled?
Eddie Owens and Derek Ryan.
I don't know how interested Derek Ryan is. I assume he believes he's going to win. He already beat C Streak.
C Streak's not Little Knee.
He's better, right? C Streak is better.
He's different. He's a different horse. Different kind of horse.
So you think Little Knee is going to post the upset?
I think Little Knee is. I think Little Knee is a serious, serious horse.
Okay.
Not that Bookham Dano isn't. By any, it's actually kind of fun that there's a matchup of this ilk here as a prequel to Saturday.
I'm glad they're running here, Bookham Dano. That is. I know he was considering the Troy and the Amsterdam as well, but. Why not run out of his own stall? Some New Jersey owners, you know. I know it's a $100,000 race, but it's not always about the money right in front of you, right?
True. The major activity, of course, is on Saturday, and let's dive into that. The storylines I did see where an hour ago I just retweeted colleague Dave Grenning that. Todd Pletcher has vanned Mindframe and Tuscan Sky down here, but he does have a van, and because of the rules here where you don't have to be on the grounds tonight, if anything happens, if Mindframe wakes up on the wrong side of the stall, they could still send Fierceness down here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And Dornock is here.
Yeah, with Derek, right?
With Derek
Ryan,
yes.
Bedded him down.
There you go. Okay, well, I thought Pletchers were coming in Saturday, but I guess not.
That, according to
Dave.
Tom
just said that on the way.
Yeah, Dave tweeted it about an hour ago.
Maybe they're coming, like, via Chicago, and we'll get here tomorrow.
Yeah, with the plane
situation. Well, let me tell you, on a Friday, coming from Perth Amboy to here could take 2 hours.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Right, it could take longer tomorrow, too. Probably smart getting on the road.
Marcus, your thoughts about how this, you know, first of all, how it shaped up, and then some expectations.
Shaped up pretty well.
I thought so too.
No, I mean actually really well. I just don't understand the need to put in these no hopers. I hope they don't run because nothing good can come of that. Because C Streak is fine. I'm fine with him being in the race. His Long Branch was quite good. And, you know, he merits a spot in this field off of that. I think you got some serious other horses. What's your feeling on Tuscan Sky?
I loved Tuscan Sky early in the year, and to the point where I invested in a future wager on him, and I think there's
a Pegasus future wager.
Unfortunately, it was a Kentucky Derby future wager. The Wood Memorial fiasco scuttled that, and he regrouped. I think he's a nice horse, and just being by Vino Rosso kind of hints at, to me, as second half, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, kind of fulfillment.
Did you watch his last race?
I saw it live.
Okay, weird race, huh?
Yes, it was.
He didn't really want to be on the lead, it didn't look like, but then was left with kind of no choice. So is he going to go for the lead in this race? Will he be ahead of, how's the race going to shape up, Steve? That's what we want to know.
Well, posted down inside, not that this is the Derby, but, the expectation is that Saez has got to at least get early position with Dornach.
He's got to go, doesn't
right?
he?
Of course he does.
I think he'll be on the lead. The question is, how close will these other horses be? Who will be in front, ahead, going into the turn? Mindframe or Tuscan Sky in front of one another? Tough one, huh?
It is a tough one, and
I think they'll be sending Seastreak after he got hung out completely. I mean, he was, six wide around the first turn last
crazy.
Time?
It was very strange.
From an outside draw, they will definitely not want that to be happening again. More likely that they would go forward than to take back. He does have speed. Timberlake has a touch of speed. I doubt that it will be deployed. But I can't see Mr. Pletcher with two horses who do have some pace letting Dornach coast along in front. One of those two will be making sure that he is setting an honest pace.
I think that's fair. And certainly the way Mindframe ran, from the outside and having to find position in the Belmont.
Do you like this horse?
I know you love him, and you were not wrong.
I was wrong.
Well, not really. I was against him going into the Belmont. It just seemed like a bridge too far too soon. But he ran very, very well and I respect him.
I truly believe he would have won the race if he hadn't gone to the crop a second time. Fair?
That is.
And I'm not blaming Ortiz. I mean, I wrote a little feature about this horse that's in today's Daily Racing Form, America's Turf Authority.
Since?
I got it. Sometime in the 19th century.
I'm bad with years.
The right century, right?
Use the easy answer since Marty McGee was in short pants.
That's your line. I can't steal that from you.
It's Bribs.
Okay. Part of what, he gave him a left-handed crop in his debut just to, school him to see what it would be like to run in a real race. He was jogging at the time. And then he didn't stick him in the Churchill race at all, hands and heels, eased to the wire, in case they were going to run in the Preakness, which obviously they didn't. And then the first time he went to the crop in the Belmont, didn't faze him at all. Second time, I think that cost him everything. He had a chance to get back on track, but I think that's where his lack of complete 100% race fitness, race hardness, because he had just those two easy races. He's a big, heavy horse. He carries a lot of condition on him. And Ortiz said this, and it seems to make perfect sense to me, that having a hard race like that, and it was a hard race, is really going to help this horse. And I think he has more levels to find. I love his physical. I don't see him train every day. His works are outstanding to me. Not a fierceness kind of worker, because that's just not how he goes about his business, which is better. It's almost better for him. He gets plenty out of his drills. His half-mile work last weekend was absolutely under hammerlocks, which says to me that he's coming into this in great shape. I don't think he's going to lose. But last time was the time to bet him. He was 5-1. I thought that was a great price.
It was.
And he is not going to be a great price in this race. I mean, maybe Dornock's just a better horse, Maybe he's a huge value. Maybe Timberlake is the right horse. I believe that connections have a very strong sense that he is going to rebound, that there was a specific situation that contributed to his going off form in the Arc Derby. That said, I liked a champagne. I thought his Breeders' Cup was fine. I just don't know that he has the baseline ability of a Mind Frame.
But like Mind Frame last time, this is the time to bet him.
Correct.
Coming off the layoff.
Correct. To me, he's the value of the race, right?
Yeah, that's what I was looking at last night. I go, 8-1. If you're going to go now, because he'll run a decent race, and next time he'll be 2-1. I totally agree with that.
I doubt he'll be that high a price. Seriously doubt it. Well, there you go. Who's your pick, Steve?
I honestly just step on it. I didn't officially.
You don't have to. I'm not going to put you on the spot.
No, I've got affection for Tuscan Sky, but Mind Frame's the now horse. What can you say?
I think it'll be the best dirt route horse in the country by the end of the year.
Well, I asked you that question coming off the half year break, and that's where you gravitated, and it's probably the smart money.
Because you have to look at him. He's got three starts. He's got a lot of air above him. He can get better. And whether Dornoch has peaked or not, but I keep looking at Dornoch and looking at him. I mean, he's won 4 out of 8 races. His best race has been good enough 4 times. And all of his wins have been when he has broken sharply and been up there, and he's going to have to do that again today. But, I mean, I got to give this horse. I mean, I overlooked him last time, and as a lot of people did at 17-1. I think he's the real deal. I think he can give Mind Frame all he's got.
That's it's a fair assessment about when you say the 4 wins, the 2 seconds, and the two off the boards are easily dismissed. I mean, the Derby was a nightmare, and they were dicking around in the Bluegrass.
Were they, though?
They seemed like they were.
That's what they said.
So, but I mean, that was...
I just thought he was flat out of the gate.
Might have been as well, on top of anything else.
I thought it was, maybe retrospectively, they decided to try to rate him, if you know what I mean.
I do, but that had been a conversation point going into the race, that they were going to utilize the opportunity to...
Okay, well, I mean, do you want a horse that won't rate? Behind horses.
What impresses me about Dornoch is he goes to the front, but he's had horses lapped on him the whole way.
Well, he's very game when he gets in the lead.
Exactly.
When he's in front, he's a tough customer.
He's tough to run down on that way, and I just, God, you just look at him. Well, but did he run his best race last time, and is he going to be able to go forward off of that? Because I think he will have to go forward. Probably. To hold Mind Frame
probably
at bay.
Well, where are you guys on the speed bias on Belmonte? On the dirt track.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of talk about it, and Chad Brown was, like, just really asserting that throughout the 2 days, I think, randomized benefited from it, so he would... Other people thought there really was, too. I mean, I don't know. I'm not that sold, but maybe it helped carry me along. I do believe his Renton was extremely biasated. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, we...
I mean, you'll have to watch the races here today and tomorrow, but traditionally this is more of a speed-favoring track, of course.
Now, I have not watched closely last week, but generally through this meet, it's not been biased. There have been plenty of days when horses are coming wide off of moderate paces. I'm not, through the whole season, it hasn't been that way at all.
Give that smile again. That was great.
That's a real smile.
That was a winner.
Yeah.
The wife will love that.
I hope so. She's holding down the fort, harvesting the produce, taking care of many, many, many two pets estate.
I could see the two of you at farm markets.
We should be running a farm market. We have 4 lots in the city of Chicago. We have quite a large property, and most of it has been turned into the kind of grounds that many Americans would abhor. I don't like grass. I got rid of most of the grass. A whole one whole side is vegetables. I got a fruit orchard in another corner. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to quit my job, basically, just to take care of the yard. That's not even talking about the house.
You know, you don't accompany that with Chicago normally, right? A fruit, a no, vegetable garden, and
exactly.
That.
We have a little oasis in the middle of hell.
Nice.
The funny thing is that we live in a neighborhood called South Shore, which is we're right next to the lake, 7100 South, and at the time our home was built in 1910, it was flower farms.
Wow.
So we're going back to the
back
roots.
To nature.
Back to the roots of the neighborhood, which has also been Jewish and Irish, flipped many times.
When you say South Shore, where is it exactly?
Do you know where Hyde Park is?
I do.
In University of Chicago,
yeah.
Museum of Science and Industry.
Okay.
That's at 57th.
Okay.
Keep going.
Yeah.
We're at 71st.
Okay.
Follow the lakefront and turn right, then turn left, and you can come visit the grounds.
We will.
My wife is so ably tending to.
I love it. Let's back up out of the Haskell to an outstanding United Nations.
Race of the day.
Without a doubt.
And I'm not saying that because they are like world-class grade one horses.
It's
up
just
and
a
down,
well-matched field.
There are a lot of good horses, and I thought there was a lot to dig into here.
Well,
this is a key race in a lot of sequences. Starts
that's
a
good.
Pick four, you know, in the middle of a pick five, and
well, it's the final pick four. There is an all-stakes pick four with $500,000 guarantee, and which they'll blow through. The all-stake is the Wolf Hill, the Monmouth Cup, the UN, and the Haskell.
I mean, I don't see so high losing.
Interesting.
That's a joke. Is he going to run? He's the key to the race.
Because of the pace.
Yeah, if he runs, then Get Smokin's not getting loose. If he doesn't run, then Get Smokin's getting loose. And I wanted to like Get Smokin' here.
So did I.
Even though I know that they've got the Kentucky Downs race surely circled on their calendar the way you ran there last year.
Yeah, repeat. Back for the repeat.
I believe I said in my race preview that, or something, somewhere I wrote that it was worth $1 billion this year. Is that correct?
Well, what was that?
$1 billion? Is that what the purse is on that this year? Did I have that right? Billion with a B? It's Kentucky Downs, the home of the first $7 billion races.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
It really is.
Anyway, I actually thought he ran well in his last start, which was clearly just a, you know, get him back going again race at you know, wrong surface, wrong distance.
But this works out, the race there is on the 7th of September, so it's a
good bridge.
Out. Yeah, perfect.
He had him up in Canada, and he's coming back down south. Anyway,
he won't be 19-1 this year.
Probably
if he
not.
Runs in there. He snuck away last time.
But I don't think he can shake loose from so high if he's running. I thought there were a lot of chances. Principally, for me, who's favored? Far Bridge.
Other than the wide draw. But yeah, they did make him the 4-1 favorite.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of 4-1 favorites. I think that's wishy-washy in most cases. Here, I can totally get behind it. I don't think anyone is going to be shorter than 7-2. I can't really see it. And I like Far Bridge. He's fine. I would have liked him a lot. I don't know. I don't want to back him at the price here. I don't know how far he wants to go. Does he want to go quite this far? It looks like he might. He should, maybe, kind of, but does he? And that draw is not good.
No.
That is not a good draw.
No.
And I think he just ran his best race. I thought there was more there. I mean, the Farbridge Carl Spackler maiden ding-dong battle at Gulfstream a couple years ago, that was... I mean, both those horses showed right from the start that they have plenty of ability. And this guy's been a little up and down, had some strange little journeys in his racing career, but he's fine. I see more interesting horses here.
Well, including, let's move inside just a couple of notches and talk about Web Slinger, who is coming off that mile and 3/8 win and might be... well positioned in here.
I don't like him.
You don't?
He got up over Segoy. Segoy is in good form right now after Maker claimed him. But he had just run his best race. I think he kind of ran back to that, but I think there are better horses in here than that. And I think it was the quality of the competition that allowed Web Slinger, who leaves himself too much to do all the time and will always
That's
do
true.
So regardless of the distance, a fairly short stretch here, he will not get there in time.
Well, there is one difference here, and that is the presence of Luis Saez, who may have a tendency to draft in the race more so than
you just
most
can't
recent
do it with
pilots.
This horse. Can't do it with this right, horse. That's just right. Who he is. That I feel certain of that.
All right.
You know, one thing about what you do, he lives a ton to do. He does fire every time, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I was happy.
Very good horse.
I was happy to see him finally get a win and to see that continue to do it.
I was not so happy.
Between drinks.
having back Segoy in the race.
So, you know, I got to go back to American Turf Run. I made a very nice score at I'm still a little hoarse from that stretch run there at 20. So I have to always have to. It's tough to go by him. And it's tough to leave him off the win end. But I mean, he's going to be in the trifecta, but I don't know. I have a question for both of you guys. Can Tawny Port win this race?
He can.
Could, I guess.
I like to follow Pratt, first-time Pratt. He's won for his last 11 starts, which I'm not a big fan of. But I'm going to use him.
I said if I wanted anyone out of the Monmouth Cup, it would be he. But I don't love him.
Yeah.
He can win, though. I think starting over can win. I think starting over has been absolutely aimed at this race at 11 furlongs by Maker, who has his horses always run well here. This is this horse's distance. This is his race. He's been pointed here for a while, I would say. And I think he's going to run big. He is very limited. I mean, yeah, he fits in the spot, but he is what he is. He has no more to give than what he's already given. I think he will run his best race. I haven't seen the prices yet, and I'm not going to see him until I put my reading glasses on. 10-1 on Data Man.
Well, I'm glad you brought him
Can
up.
Can I get a little more than 10-1?
Maybe.
Could I get 14-1?
12.
Yeah.
He's really interesting. It feels like he's ready to make another forward move.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And this may be, he's got, obviously, the cliffhanger win goes a long way.
Listen,
over the course.
He's going to have to run better than that.
A little bit, yeah. Not a lot better.
Oh, really? I'm looking at the buyers. I don't have your fancy figures and stuff like that.
Well, no, even using the buyers. I mean, this is a horse, Grand Motion. I mean, look at the healthy development and steady natural progression this horse has made.
I saw flashes early with this horse, but he really he needed to grow up. I mean, he came back so much better just in his Henry Clark. The thing about the cliffhanger is it was run at a walking pace, and he was last. A. B, he made a big run to get into position, and then he kind of goofed off at the eighth pole. He tried to lug in a little bit. He lost his focus. He was still passing horses and had momentum, but he didn't really get his feet fully under him until past the eighth pole after the jock got him straightened out. After he did get his feet fully under him and ran straight, he finished like an absolute monster. That was one of the best gallops out that I've seen this year. It was incredible. It's what you want to see from a horse going farther. He's got, to me, he's got everything. Like, he's value, he's progressive, he's going to like the longer distance, he's got the win over the course, and he's got a trainer who doesn't overmatch his horses.
That's a lot of positive.
It's a lot to like.
So that's why he's in the weekend game plan.
There you go. Oh, he is. We've got to read the cliffhanger. I still can't get used to the cliffhanger at Monmouth Park because that was a metal lens.
You should
there.
Be used to it by now.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
You know what?
Been here a while.
We'll see it. I just think Meadowlands. But you mentioned something. You said, can I get a 10-1 or on this horse? So this is the race. This is one of the races that you need to do the fixed odds look at. Because this is a race with a 4-1 favorite. You're going to see. Now, I happened to do that last year with Therapist. I think he was 14-1 at 14-1. I ended up getting 20-1 on him because I was standing by the machine. If you do the look with the fixed odds here.
Yes,
there might be a time where
it could be 23-1
at some point, and you hit the button and you get it. So, like I said, I got lucky and did that last year, and I picked up a few extra bucks. But this type of race is got fixed odds written all over it.
I hear you.
That's a good point. That's one of the what it's supposed to be offering. It's a fun group.
You didn't mention Emmanuel there.
Nope, I did not.
And I didn't either. I don't have him, but I just, you know, he's obviously going to take some money. He's got a decent post, and, you know, Irad jumps on. But, you know, he's not one of my favorites in here.
I'll throw out a Domo just because he won this 2 years ago, gets to Torrey. He was coming late in the Monmouth. You know, he's one of these horses that you just, you know, you gloss over and you think, you know, it's a couple of ticks past midnight, to quote Gary Young.
If he's 8-1, he's definitely a takeout reducer.
Yeah, I mean, he's just funny, though. I mean,
I've been following this horse closely.
His whole career, he
ran in the Fairground Stakes in his first start after coming from France.
Yes.
And I remember watching his races in France, and he ran big first time out here. His UN in 2022 was the crowning moment in his racing life.
Yep.
And he will never be getting close to that form again.
Anytime soon.
He is a 6-year-old.
Anytime ever.
Well,
I mean, where do you run a horse like this? You know what I'm saying? Like
here, I mean,
you got to pick your. You run him for a tag. He's not. No. You can't run him for a tag.
No.
You can't find allowance races for him for the
most
part.
You might. I mean, he's obviously pretty sound. You know what?
Maybe he'll sneak into something.
Maybe he could jump.
Oh. On Saturday? That would be even interesting.
Well, no, but, yeah, I mean, the subsequent.
Into the apron?
Sean Clancy. See if he should talk to Chad and to Michael Dubb and Louis Lazzanero. Maybe he's got a future as a chaser.
He's more of like a 9-10 for a long horse, though. I don't know if he'd want to go 2.5 miles.
Well, the UN, and so ultimately, you want Data Man.
Oh, I want Data Man.
Yes, you do. All right. We'll stay with this all stake pick four.
Okay.
The Monmouth Cup, and this was the race that was created for Big Brown, I think, right? Or remember
really?
The
that recently?
Or it was a Curlin. This race was created. Let me look at the history because
this race is older than you think.
Well, yeah, I feel the same way. I remember when it was at the Meadowlands.
Well, no, there was a turn.
The Monmouth Cup.
Do you remember?
That's a good one. That was the Meadowlands Cup.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Was it the Monmouth? Is it the Monmouth? There was a race that was created for either Curlin or Big Brown to get him to come here.
This was the race that was created for something.
Right? I've
Well, there's not much to it this year, unfortunately.
No.
I absolutely do not like the second choice, Tap It Trice. I mean,
this was the Meadowlands Cup.
It was?
It was the Meadowlands Cup.
Get out.
It was.
No way.
Wow. Yeah. I accidentally had it right.
1977.
That's the only way I'm going to get any historical fact right.
Yeah, it was. It was. That's very funny.
Highland Falls is going to be odds on, and he should win. I don't like the race at all.
I agree.
The problem is there's, like, pretty much no pace. One of these two horses, Kuchar or Counter Spy, one of the two horses could get loose. And if one of those two horses gets loose and it's a slow pace and Highland Falls, he's not going to – this is not a great race for him. He is a total grinder. And I said about the track being relatively fair, sure, but he's going to struggle to get going in time. Even against inferior opposition, I think that if you're singling him and pick whatever's, you may be sweating it out. But again, like I can't. To me, if I'm playing the multis, it's an AAC sort of thing.
Funny place for Tap It Trice, the return, right?
the thing is, he's
what wouldn't be a funny place?
He's been scratched twice already.
Yeah.
He had a quarter crack. He was in the Ali Sheba. He was in the Blame. He was scratched at both of those. They just need to get him started. I don't know. Maybe he'll surprise me. I guess he should beat everyone except Highland Falls, and maybe he could beat him too. Again, it's not a good race for me.
I see it as a goofball race as well. You know what?
I'm
looking at the hottest trainer in the land right now.
Louis Linder?
Sarita Vaux.
They are desperate. They are obviously, with this pedigree, they are desperate to get a graded stake win for Stage Raider.
And not just because that, but this is a second race back. They brought the horse back here to get a race over the track. Doesn't run bad in the Salvador Mile. The rider switch, the rail, the whole deal.
Sure.
I think the horse is well maintained.
I mean,
in a goofball race.
Yes,
I don't...
a goofball race. I mean, I treat it like Highland Falls should win, but absolutely does not have to win. And if he doesn't, and you don't think Tapit Trice, like, because it's all wrong for him, you got to just take your shots, right?
Yes. Cozeris has got number power.
There you go. I mean, take your pick.
Yeah. And by the way, it was the Monmouth Stake that was created for Big Brown.
The Monmouth Stakes.
Yes.
Yes.
But not the
Monmouth.
Not the
Cup.
Not the Cup. No.
This was the Meadowlands Cup.
This is like the coronation in England. Oh. Same thing. Which is
very
the Cup,
similar.
Which is the Stake. And...
Turf Sprint, the start of the All Stakes Pick 4. It's the Wolf Hill. And Hammer sent me some pictures of the old property. And this has got some of the very familiar Mid-Atlantic stalwarts.
And beyond Arzak.
Yeah.
He's a national star.
Yes, he is.
Star is the word advisedly. I didn't cover this race. I didn't have to make full card picks on the day, so I am bowing out of pretending to demonstrate any expertise herein.
All right. Fair enough. Well, you mentioned Arzak, Mike Trombetta, who has become... Really has become...
the king of the turf sprint.
It really has. And George Duarte with Nothing Better, the veteran as well.
That horse is in great form.
He's a nice horse. And it's just fun to have Golden Brown in here. Never a frown with Golden Brown. And
is that on a Hallmark card or something?
It's
the
a T-shirt.
The song by the Stranglers.
Don't know it.
You don't know Golden Brown.
I do not know
I will guarantee you the dead covered Golden Brown.
Guaranteed.
I never heard them sing Golden Brown.
You would love Golden Brown, and you'd love the Stranglers.
It'll be on something today.
Wow, I'm shocked by that.
No.
Given your wide musical
never
expertise.
Pretty wild.
Anyway, Arzak is the horse to beat. But Ned Allard, you know, earlier we talked about Leo Powell with Brad Free.
Okay.
I'll make the same point about Ned Allard that I did, and also with Derek Ryan yesterday. Ned Allard has been doing this a long time, and as one of these guys, if you're a big owner and you don't think you're getting enough attention, go send some horses to Ned Allard.
And he won this race 2 years ago.
He's so good.
He's 9 for 38. That's 24%.
He's so good.
And you know what? I haven't seen Ned Allard since I left here. So when I saw that, I said I was more anxious to go
say hi to,
Ned that I haven't. What about...
This horse has a chance.
Sure. My horse has a chance. Joey O on the rail. I was looking at that one a little bit. Eamon. He's off a little bit.
Needs a huge pace, that Eamon is. He absolutely needs to set up. He probably doesn't get there.
So the horse with the speed, I guess, is the 3.
Yeah, off the Russell claim. That's
You know, obviously they're in here to go for it. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it might ensure.
This horse was very, very fast in his brief heyday. Didn't come back well from a layoff. But
if he lays a sub 44 in here, they could come flying at the end.
That's a good point.
You know, so that was why I threw the old Eamon in there, because I think there will be something in there. But Arzak are definitely the horse.
the beat.
Marcus, a quick glance at the matchmaker and the Molly pitcher. Of course, idiomatic here, the people will view as a free square.
It is a free square.
All right, fair enough. And then,
but, the I mean, free and not free, which is everyone's free square, so you're going to pay in the end. Misty Vail is not running here.
No, running in Sunday in the shoot.
As I believe is the
other. Just Catherine.
The Catherine, yeah. The matchmaker, though, I like somebody here.
You used that, right?
In weekend game plan?
Yes, you did.
I did.
I think so.
I did. Because I've been waiting for this Maman June to run back. And here she is. Would prefer there were a little more pace, but... you know, you can't have everything. This is a very interesting horse. They ran her in the Oaks in her second start as a maiden after she got walloped first time out. That is not a bad race in the Oaks. Meet in 10 lengths, but fourth of nine. Considering where she was, I don't think that you can really, you can say that Richard Hannon liked her enough or was asked to like her enough to run in the Oaks second time out. But they did think something of this horse, and I trace her career development to this spring when Chad Brown started training her. And since that time, she has done nothing wrong. She lacks pace, but she has a tremendous, tremendous rally. She was just flying at the eighth pole last time, behind an even slower pace than Data Man encountered over this course. And she couldn't really win given the setup. I don't think you could have asked her to finish any faster. The mile and an eighth is going to help this filly, and she will be the C team in the betting for Mr. Brown behind Delahaye and Butte Cachet. Maybe Butte Cachet will come out running and set an honest enough face. Maybe she won't stop. That's possible, but I think that at the prices... and from what I've seen from her at this meet, Maman June is the horse that I want to back.
It should be every bit, right? A 4-1.
I was surprised that they made her that low.
Yeah, 9-2 maybe.
You get, I mean, Vince Chaminot, that helps your price, right? I have no problem with that jockey.
No, not at all.
A fine, fine rider. Brown has been using him regularly at this meet. He doesn't ride that much. He probably should have stuck with Nacho, who was using him on everything, Nacho Correas, but he moved to Tampa this winter. And he's winning in a high percentage. He will get the job done on the right horse.
Marcus, before we let you go, speaking of game plan, I've got to regroup.
Going north of the border.
Yeah, I got to regroup with Ron Gierkink before we get out today. But you did use the Connaught Cup as a game plan game.
I did. Flag of Honor, 7-5. I see that's another line I hadn't seen. He could be even lower. He's a good horse. War Bomber, to me, is a great value in this race. This horse, he might have won the Connaught Cup last year with a better trip. They were leaning on him in the top of the stretch. He didn't find room. He had to dive back inside. Dream Shake got a nice clean run. This horse finished really well. He's a very solid horse going 7/8 in a mile on the Woodbine turf course. His last race, clearly just to shake off the rust to me. I don't see why he doesn't have a solid chance to get back to where he was at this time last summer. And at that point, he is plenty capable of posting an upset.
How much of an upset would it be?
Well, he's 12-1 on the morning line.
Is it that much?
Yeah.
Wow.
He never gets bet. This horse never, never, never gets bet.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Not since that handicap win back in November of 22. You're right. Lots of double digits. I've got an 8-1 shot that I think maybe.
Let me have him.
Capture the Lion, Gary Barber.
I almost went there.
And Cassie.
I don't think he's good enough. I liked his races, and he's progressive.
He's progressive.
They just got him on grass.
Yep. I like that.
What is he, an uncaptured grass? No, you're on to something. Love the way he finished, and he made great progress from his first turf start to his second. And when you see a horse like that, you don't know where their ceiling is.
Exactly.
Get them while they're hot.
Exactly right. And, you know, that was his first time on grass going seven. He loses Kimura, but...
they all lost Kimura.
Yeah, exactly.
The circuit lost
him. Savashi...
Savashi is riding up a storm.
He's terrific. And 8-1, that's me. Out of a Teufelsberg mare.
Yep, that's quite the pedigree, huh?
Right?
Teufelsberg as a... of the five horses he's had that can run at all, he's a grass influence for me.
I'm a big Teufelsberg fan.
Well,
Trained by?
There's one of them.
Trained by?
That lady, I can't remember.
Jamie Sanders,
yeah.
Hey Now! Famous for Chuck Simon hanging her on a bridle rack.
Right there.
On a bridle rack.
Really? Like literally?
Literally.
Out of anger or out of...
In the Zito barn, I think. Famous. It's a famous backstretch incident.
It sounds like it.
Incident might not be a good term to use.
Yeah. Until the statute of limitations has expired.
That's a classic. That came up a couple of weeks ago, actually. It was very fun.
From the sound of it, it ought to come up.
Two Jamie Sanders mentions. Marcus, this now become a thing. It's an annual visit.
We changed desks, though. I feel at sea.
Well, because...
I don't know what I'm looking at over here.
Well, we're glad you're here, and
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me onto your wonderful show.
It's my pleasure. You've become a fixture. This is the
well. Don't make me blush. It is radio, but you can feel that through the airwaves.
The Hirsch half hour.
If history is the same, you'll be wandering tomorrow, right? You're a wanderer. In the stands. You look at here, there. You're back and forth.
It depends on how many enemies I see in the crowd.
Who you're ducking, right? Actually, this is a pretty tame place here.
You never know. Let me put it that way.
Marcus Hirsch, everybody. DRF Hirsch and the coverage in the pages of the Daily Racing Forum. We'll take our break here. 95 minutes in, 85 to come. Steve Anderson. Of the
my
Del,
man,
the
give him my best.
I will. More Del Mar, then some James Scully on here on the Twin Spires weekend preview. We're live at Monmouth. Hammer's here. Dennis Drazen will be by, and we're still looking to catch up with Ron Gierkink north of the border, as well as Nick Tamaro for a little Saratoga insight as well.
Man,
back to Monmouth after this.
The state of Pennsylvania has the best breeders program in the entire United States.
When you buy a yearling, it's a little bit like buying a lottery ticket. And we are trying to provide the lottery ticket that the likelihood is to hit the jackpot.
Angel of Empire wins the Arkansas Derby and wins at Clare.
Uncle Heavy late, it's a photo finish!
Pennsylvania and the PHBA have the best state bred program in the country, bar none.
The winner, Uncle Heavy, he's a three-year-old bred in Pennsylvania.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebuilds.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebuilds.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebuilds.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebuilds.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.